Well, welcome. There's a few more of us up here now. We're going to move into the next bit of the service. And I thought it would be great just before I'm going to do a reading in a sec, but in case you're new or you're just not really sure who all these people are, just thought it would be great to introduce, this is our senior leadership team at Christchurch, and they're all going to tell you their names in case you don't know them. And I just always think it's helpful to have a reminder, you know, when you're new to church and you've met lots of people. So, Chris.
Hello, I'm Chris. I've been here at Christchurch for 9 years, and I was actually just noticing that some of us got comfy chairs and some of us didn't. And I don't know what that says about us, but, you know, just saying.
I'm Mark. I'm operations manager here, been at Christchurch for about 8 years, and I haven't got a comfy chair, so I shall write a memo in the morning.
I'm Paul. I've been here with Jackie for 11 years. I'm the vicar here at Christchurch, and it's just because we're older than you are. And, you know, we just need a bit more upholstery so we don't have to turn the other cheek as often. Always do what Jesus said.
Hi, everyone. I'm Janet. I've got a comfy chair because this weekend marks 45 years since I came to Bristol as a very, very young student and joined Christchurch. I'm assistant minister here, and it's great to see you.
Hi, I'm Chris, another Chris. We have quite a challenge at times, don't we, trying to distinguish as to which Chris you're talking to. We haven't quite worked it out yet. The bearded one doesn't really work, we'll stop there. I'm married to Esther. We've been here about 4 and a bit years now, and I'm a curate here, which is a Church of England role, training role. It's an amazing place to be here. Love it.
Wonderful. Thank you. I'm Lucy. I mean, I'm not part of the senior leadership team, but just in case you wanted to know who I was. We're talking about commissioning this morning, and over the summer, you've probably heard, all of these guys talk about change and the journey that we're on as a church. And we're just going to use this morning and a bit of the next time that we have to talk about how we've got here, like where their heart is and where they see it going. And to delve a bit deeper into that. And we're going to start in the passage that we've been looking at. So if you've got a Bible or you're on your phone, I don't think we're doing church Bibles at the moment because of COVID. Sorry. We're in Joshua 3. We're going to look at two bits of Joshua 3, verses 1 to 6 and verses 14 to 17. So I'll read that, and then kick off with our senior team. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, who are Levites, carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the ark of the covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And then to verse 14. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now, the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet, as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet, touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap at a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down the Sea of the Arabah was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. So we've been looking at that passage for a few weeks now, and I guess just wanted to kick off and understand why that passage is important for us as a church, for you guys as a team. Chris, do you want to kick us off,
Very happy. Yeah. So we've actually had this passage on our hearts really probably for 4 or 5 years, maybe something like that. And those words that out of one of those verses says, "Since you've never been this way before," were really key to us, even back then, and really key to us now. And I guess, you know, globally, in the last 18 months, that verse rings true, doesn't it? We've never been this way before. Many of you personally over that time have probably been in a place where you've never been this way before. And we also sense that as a community, as a church, we also have that opportunity to go God's way, which is a way that we've never been before. And that creates lots of interesting challenges, but we'll probably talk a bit more about that later. But I think it's key for us, partly because it's been on our journey for the last 5 years or so, but particularly now, given what we've been through together, those words, "we've never been this way before," really key for us.
Thank you. Would anybody like to add anything more about the passage? Or?
I think there's a lot of strands to this, both the development of a leadership team for this church and the development of our sense of where God is leading us. And part of that for me is quite a personal journey as someone who's been trained and appointed to be leading churches for 30-some years. Just the growing conviction that actually having a single individual leading is an unhealthy and an unbiblical thing. Unhealthy for the individual, unhealthy for the church, and not the way that the Bible paints leadership as a shared team exercise. And so many clergy have, over the years, developed teams around them to help them as they lead. And I've been keen to explore, and we've spent a number of years doing this, talking about what it would mean not simply to have to gather a group supporting me as the leader, but actually for me to share that leadership equally with a team, so that I am one among, in this case, six. Helena, Chris's wife, isn't here today. And that's been an interesting journey. It's not somewhere I've been before.
Thanks, Paul. That's really helpful. Janet, did you?
I'd like to just add the same. That verse means so much. We have not been this way before. As I said, I've been at Christchurch for years and years and years, and I have lived through all sorts of changes in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, 2000, 2010s, and now we're in 2021. And the things that worked then do not necessarily work now. And it's quite easy, I find, for me to hark back to, oh, it was great, you know, when I was, whatever, 20, 30, 40. But, you know, we're in a different millennium now. Things have changed. I think the pandemic really shook us up. And I know for me it made us think again, what exactly is church for? God has also been saying lots to me about what really matters in the long term. What are the, you know, eternal benefits, if you like? What are the eternal, the things that will last forever, and what really isn't so important? And can I also say I'm passionate about team. Again, as I've got older, I just love working with other people. And again, to me, one of the great changes that you're seeing now is how you work together. And believe me, we're a very mixed team. We're all very different personalities. And it's just great to see just how things are developing. But we're fixing our eyes on Jesus. We are pressing ahead, and we are following him.
Just something to add to that. I think there's this real sense as you read Joshua 3 of the people of Israel having to be totally trusting of God. They're about to go into what is unknown for them. And just a moment that I recall shaped some of this journey. It must have been about 3 years ago. I was standing at the back of church. It was during the worship. And I'd been praying to God, "You just show me just a little glimpse as to how you feel about other people." And it was just this overwhelming sense of God's love for us as a people. And it was so overwhelming. I was at the back and I was worshipping. I was crying at the back and no one could see me. It's fine, you know. But I just started to get this glimpse of, oh gosh, okay, that's just a fraction of how you feel about us, God. And the potential that God sees in all of us here. And for me, Joshua 3 just embodies some of that. A people trusting God to be released into everything that God sees in them, and they're not seeing it all themselves. And so part of this journey is about us as a people encouraging each other into the potential that God sees in us.
I'm a settler by nature. I guess many of us aren't. I like to have routine. I like to create systems and processes and know how things work. And one of the things I've learned personally over the last 18 months is that actually I'm quite better at dealing with change than I thought I was. And the other thing I've learned over the last 18 months is how dissatisfied I was with some of the places where I'd settled. And so it's a personal challenge for me to go on this journey because by nature I'm a settler, but I'm actually dissatisfied with where I've settled. So I'm excited about working with these guys because they're pushing me forward.
Yeah, I love that. Thanks, Mark. I'm really struck by hearing you and how long the journey to this point has been for each of you, but also how clearly God's spoken to you differently about the love or about what it looks like to be a senior leadership team or the fact that COVID did take us specifically into a place that we have never been before. And I guess just that's kind of how we've got to this point. Is there anything you wanted to add on specific moments of getting here? I didn't want you to move on from that and feel that you'd missed your moment. But potentially it feels like what I'm not hearing is necessarily like a real clear picture of where we're going. And I just wondered if there was any expansion on what does it look like? Are there solid things that we can say this is what we're looking for? What's the journey? What's the destination?
I think we've talked quite a bit as a team about what legacy looks like for a church. You know, what are we seeking to do and to build and to leave behind us? And so Joshua 3 is one of many scriptural passages that has been significant for us. And another would be Ephesians 4, which ends with the idea of God's people being mature and confident. And that led us to ask some questions about what is fruitful and what is effective. And just taking a good long look in the mirror, you know, I've led churches for 30-something years. What has been effective? What has been fruitful? And much has, and some hasn't. But actually, how do we, as a church, enable all God's people to be fruitful, confident, mature followers of Jesus so that, as Sarah was bearing testimony, there's that sense of what it means to be a Christian in the workplace, what it means to be a Christian bringing blessing, transformation to a city. And I suppose that really is our pursuit, that we want to say, how can we lead church, shape church, manage church, so that it enables you and us, because we're all part of God's family, we're all part of the body, whatever role we play, to be those confident, mature followers of Jesus. If church was banned by the government, would we as Christians still stand without the church? So in other words, I suppose in a sense, how do we lead church so that our dependency on God is such that we would stand as his followers anyway? So that's a big part of where we're wanting to head.
I'd just like to talk about community as within that sense of how do we stand. Just think about what are those moments, if you look back on your life, where you just sensed others walking alongside you in your journey with Jesus? And how influential. I can think of particular individuals who've just come alongside me at different times, and those have been huge moments in my life of moving forward. And times have changed, but times have changed in the midst of people whom we know and love. And so I think another thing that we're in setting out is making space for community. We're sat around tables at the moment. There's something about sitting in small groups that enables conversation in a way that sitting in rows doesn't. We won't always sit around tables. But it's about an intentional decision to say, how can we recognize the importance of us as family together and facilitate those conversations, not just on a Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and so on through the week, where we're encouraging each other in our journey with Jesus and together recognizing what God's doing in us, building his kingdom through us.
And that then leads to a really important question, which is, what is the point of what we're doing this morning? When we went into the pandemic, we said that church was not something we went to, it was something we were, and we know that theologically, but we had to work through what that meant when we couldn't meet together. Now we can meet together again. We have to ask the question, what is the purpose of us gathering on a Sunday morning? And we're looking at the number of different tools and ways that we can do things that help us be more effective when we gather, which is why we're doing different things on different weeks, because each week has had a different theme and a different aim to it. And so we looked at the different bits of elements of when we gather and looked at what's more effective in order to us be better the people of Jesus when we leave this place.
Go on, Jen.
Thanks. Connected to what lots of people have been saying, I think I mentioned earlier about eternal impact. I had a sabbatical, a month off, about 3 years ago, and I visited, we were on holiday somewhere, this church that was a beautiful, beautiful building, and there was dust everywhere, and the notice board had out-of-date notices, and it was obviously, had once been a really grand place, and there was just dust everywhere. That same month, I had a reunion of all the people I'd been at university with, like 40 years previously, and there were people I'd been Christians with in the university CU 40 years previously, and some were still absolutely full on for Christ, and some had drifted away, and some were just a bit sort of wishy-washy. And then I met someone who had become a Christian since university, and it led me thinking, what makes us fruitful? Why do some people stay the course? Why do some people move away? What really lasts eternally? The pandemic again taught me the value of people, of one another, of connection. And again, what I've found is, what did we all do in the pandemic? We rang up family, friends we hadn't seen for a long time, endless family Zoom quizzes. You remember those days? And again, in a church context, the importance of being family, I think, is more important than ever before. The importance of connecting with one another. What is going to last eternally? How can we really make just fruitful, fruitful followers of Jesus? What is going to last? So again, for me, this importance of connection and family.
And I think as well, like we're talking a lot about the language of journey. The last few weeks is going to be a part of our language as we go forward together. And I suppose in lots of ways, like the language of journey implies destination, doesn't it? And lots of us here will probably be desperate for an idea of destination. And that's fine. But I think honestly, between us, we can't see that far ahead right now. And I think we have to own that and be okay with that, and understand that actually the story of God is not one which is all about destination. So much of it, isn't it? It's about what happens along the way. And if any of us have lived in faith for any length of time, we know that like the line isn't, it's not just linear. It doesn't just happen in a straight line. You know, we wished it would sometimes. It would be straightforward and it would be from one place to the other and it would be easy. It would make sense. But we know it's not like that. And it's not supposed to be like that. And it raises the question for me about, well, what's the role of faith? What's the role of faith in this? You know, if faith is about not being able to live by sight, then how do we operate as a church together when we don't always know where we're going? And I think it exercises our faith muscles a little bit. And I'm hoping that that's going to be the case for us in the next few months together for sure.
Thank you. I think I can so relate. I feel like at the moment in my own personal faith journey, I've got like lots of things I'd like to see the solution for. And actually the Lord's going, just trust me on the next step. And I think what I love about what you've spoken about is I'm hearing some core underlying values of what we're going for, about sharing leadership, about community and family and being fruitful disciples of Jesus. And actually that's like trusting the next step is what we're being called to do as we step out. I love that.
And Paul, I think you've got something you wanted to say about specifically around.
Yeah, just reflecting on this passage from Joshua 3. And I want to just begin with a personal story. In 2004, Jackie and I took our entire family to New Zealand for 3 months. We put the kids in school. And 2004 was the height of the Lord of the Rings fever. And we set out to try to visit as many sites where Lord of the Rings was filmed as possible. And forgive me if you're not a fan of Lord of the Rings, but one of the great ones is Edoras. You'll either know it or you won't. And Edoras really is like it looks like on the film. There's very little CGI. They built the thing. And the way to get there is very complicated. You have to drive off-road for a couple of hours. You have to walk over heathland. And then there's a river to cross. And I took our two sons 3 weeks apart. And the first time, with our older son, we managed to cross the river, and we got on, and we sat at the top of Edoras and had our picnic and felt like the whole world belonged to us. It was just great. 3 weeks later, our younger son was keen to go. We went. The river was transformed. The meltwaters at the Mount Hutt ski fields had started to melt. The rains had come. And we started to try and cross this river, and our younger son was nearly swept away. And it was one of the most scary moments, and we had to abandon, much to his irritation, we had to abandon the trip to Edoras. The first step of this journey in Joshua 3 begins when the priests go and stand in the river. And I just want to pause for a moment and say what a dumb thing that was to do. Because the passage tells us that the Jordan was in flood. Now, if you've been to the Jordan, Sarah Wadsworth has been more times than anybody in this building, I would imagine. I've been once. And you go normally out of harvest time, and it is a pretty gentle river. There are pools. You can easily see how Jesus could be baptized at various points. But at harvest time, the Jordan River can be a mile wide, and it rages. And I know from personal experience, going and standing in a river when it's raging is a dumb thing to do, and yet is that what God told people to do? And I would just say that throughout Scripture, where we find a significant encounter between God and an individual, very rarely is the response to what God tells them to do, oh yeah, God, why didn't I think of that? Gideon, yes, God, you've got a pretty fine army there. What is it, tens of thousands? Yeah, God, it's great, isn't it? Well, how about we whittle it down to a few hundred? Great idea, God. Why didn't I think of that? Ananias. You've probably heard of this guy, Saul. Yeah, God, I have. He's going around, he's hunting people like you. And when he finds people like you, he puts them in chains, he drags them back to Jerusalem, probable torture, possible death. I'd like you to go and introduce yourself. Great idea, God. Why didn't I think of that? Do you get the point? And I think for me, as we're setting out on this journey, we're not claiming there's exact parallels. We're all priests. We all have God's presence. But in some way, our PCC has now pointed us as that strategic arrowhead to lead into this journey. And I suppose my question for you, I could quite imagine that what you're looking at and what you may see over the next few weeks may look dumb. That's possible. And I suppose my question, I woke up with this the other day as we were preparing for this. My question is, when you think of your church leadership, what are you most looking for? A leadership that is smart enough to play it safe or dumb enough to go stand in the river?
And I think, thanks, Paul.
Mic drop.
Yeah. And on that bombshell. Yeah. Thank you so much. We're going to... I mean, we're obviously not going to follow that, but I just want to say thank you to each of you for sharing a bit of your heart to get to this point. And I guess also just to say that it's kind of like, let's keep the conversation open. And if you're, I know these guys are going to be around after the service, but if you are feeling like you want to delve a bit deeper into the journey and where we're going, like one thing I love about our leadership team is that they are really willing to chat and to be really generous with their time. So if you're sat there and you're like, I want to dig deeper and I want to know more, then please reach out to the office and I'm sure they'll hook you up. And we're gonna spend a bit more time worshiping now, and then we're gonna commission these guys in a bit more of a formal way as our senior leadership team. So I'm gonna invite the worship band back up, and as these guys get down, should we show them our appreciation for leading our church day to day, which is
as we shall we stand to worship? If you want to put a mask on, that's encouraged with singing. And as we go back into a time of worship, I'm so aware that all of what we're talking about this morning will be landing differently in different spaces. And that's totally fine. And I just want to invite us all to use this time to just converse with the Lord about it. Like, how do we want our leaders to be? What's our response to the challenge Paul laid out? And how's our heart feeling about this journey as we set out on it together? And I just love the fact we can be so honest with the Lord. Like, he's not just here for the good news, you know, for the easy conversation. So let's worship. Thanks, Drew.
Thanks, Bruce.
Jake, who's a wonderful man who hears the voice of God in our congregation, just came. He said, I have a sense about faith. And he said, we might feel like we're walking and we've got real holes in our socks. And the Lord says, the holes are from the faith, because you've been walking in faith. And the Lord said, don't worry about the socks. I'll give you new socks. I'll give you new socks. Just keep walking in faith. I'd love to just sing that again, Ju. And on a very practical note, if you've got tots in Tots Church, now would be a great time to collect them, or kids in Kids Church, and bring them back up for the next part of our commissioning. But let's just stay in this place of worship for a little bit longer up here.
You never know in a gathering like this who comes and who arrives on your doorstep. And there might be people in the room this morning who you never made that decision to follow Jesus. And you may have been in this room this morning and, I don't know, it might be your first time in an experience of church like this, or whatever. It could be anything. It might be actually this morning that maybe for a while this whole thing has just been strange, like faith has just been weird, and your connection to God and your relationship with Jesus felt separated, or whatever's been going on. And I can't not sing that song and not just give an opportunity and give a moment for people to turn their lives towards Jesus. I can't do that. It would be wrong for me to do that. So I want to just give that moment of opportunity for you this morning. It might be that as you stand here that you want to do that for yourself again in a fresh way, in a different way than you've done it for a long time. But it might be actually it's for the first time. It might be your first time doing that. And if that is you, as we pray together now, I'd love you to come and find me or one of the team, Lucy, Paul, Chris, Janet, whoever. Come find one of us at the end. We'd love to talk to you and help explain more about what we do here and what it is to follow Jesus together. Can we pray? That would be really good. Father, we thank you that many of us in this room have made that decision to follow Jesus. That we have made a life-altering, life-changing, forever moment decision to follow you for the rest of our lives. And I thank you, Father, that you know every heart in this room, and you know where every relationship with you is at. I thank you that I don't need to know that none of us need to know that. It's because you know already. And we pray, Father, for anyone in this room this morning who is yet to make that decision to follow you, or would like to do it again this morning. We pray, God, by your Holy Spirit now, that you would meet them, that you would speak to their hearts, and that there would be a moment of decision this morning that is a life-altering moment. We thank you for your work in this place, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. As I said, if that resonated with you particularly if you have made that decision for the first time this morning, come and find one of us at the end. We'd love to speak to you. Lucy, you're going to take us on.
Yes.
We can welcome our kids back too. If you've got kids in Kids Church, now's a good time to go find them. The team have brought them up.
happy days.
Yeah.
So I would like to invite our senior leadership team back on the stage. And then we're going to use some liturgy, essentially some agreed words. And what we'd love to do in this moment is kind of twofold. Firstly, we want to commission our senior leadership team to take us ahead into the journey, and then they're going to commission us to kind of go on the journey with them. So we're going to start off by commissioning them. And the words that we're going to use are the words from the baptism. So hopefully this is something that you're quite familiar with, but don't worry, they'll be up here. So what's going to happen is I'm going to ask the question, and then you guys are going to give the answer. And then when we've got through the liturgy for you, you're going to do it back to us. Sound good? Everyone got where we're going? Yeah. Thanks, team. Okay. So I'm going to ask on behalf of the church, us. Actually, am I? Or are we going to all ask together?
All us.
Sorry, will you all ask together? I'll just have the mic. So repeat with me. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers?
With the help of God, we will.
Good. This is going really well. Okay. Will you persevere in resisting evil and, whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
With the help of God, we will.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Jesus Christ?
With the help of God, we will.
Will you seek and serve Jesus in all people, loving your neighbor as yourself?
With the help of God, we will.
Will you acknowledge Jesus Christ's authority over human society by prayer for the world and its leaders, by defending the weak, and by seeking peace and justice?
With the help of God, we will.
May Jesus Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love and bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Great. And now, in kind of just a symbolic act that we're going to go on the journey together, yep. That you're going to repeat back to us.
We are going to ask you. Are you ready to on my lead?
Yes.
Yep.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers?
With the help of God, we will.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
With the help of God, we will.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Jesus Christ?
With the help of God, we will.
Will you seek and serve Jesus in all people, loving your neighbor as yourself?
With the help of God, we will.
Will you acknowledge Jesus Christ's authority over human society by prayer for the world and its leaders, by defending the weak, and by seeking peace and justice?
With the help of God, we will.
May Jesus Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love and bring forth the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Amen.